Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome an accomplished and respected entrepreneur from Pune, India, Mr. Vanesh Naidu. Vanesh, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Happy to be on your show.
Thank you. Vanesh is a founder and director of SafeCams Digital Eye, which is the leading Indian in-car safety solutions brand. So Vanesh, before we talk about SafeCams, tell me about your own journey in brief.
So I guess I started off again in South Africa. I am a qualified chartered accountant. Mm-hmm. I've worked for a lot of investment banks. I then went to the UK. I spent about 14 years in the UK with investment banking. But part of the investment banking that we did a lot of structured credit. So in Europe, a lot of the fleet companies effectively rent their fleets out. Mm. So that's where I kind of got used to it. And if they don't make profits or they don't pay their bank repayments, the EMIs and stuff like that, then the bank normally puts somebody onto their board. Mm. And that's kind of how I started getting involved on the fleet side, where we had one of the fleets that was not making any payments. And we were then put on the board to try and see whether we could turn the company around or do we just sell the assets off. Mm. And at that point in time in the UK, a lot of these cameras were just starting to come out. Having like you had CCTV, but now this was kind of mobile CCTV that was coming out in the UK. Mm. So that's how I started understanding fleets and how I started understanding that. Then kind of safe cams, when I'd come to India, so I had moved to India looking at I had had enough of investment banking, 60, 70 hours a week working for someone else. I thought, all right, I'd like to move into Asia. My kids were starting to come into school age. I wanted them to have a bit more well-rounded curriculum, knowing both Eastern and Western sides of things. So that's when I kind of moved to Pune. And we also had one of my friends had introduced me to Kuwait Oil Company, who were looking for AI cameras. And we had started, we had created a camera for them, and then they were testing it. So while they were testing it, a lot of the drivers, everything, were of South Asian descent, because most of the workers there are from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. So we were tuning our AI more for their facial types, things like that. And we got it working well, and we are now one of the two companies that are, have our devices registered with KOC. Mm. So these are the only two type of devices that can be used for KOC out there. Then I thought, all right, we've done all the hard work of tuning the AI, everything. Then it would be good to start bringing this sort of thing into India. Mm. So that is kind of how the fleet side of our company started. Mm. The consumer side is while I was driving in India, I found the traffic was terrible. I'm sorry, but no one follows the rules. Yeah. And I was very worried that if there was an accident, I would get blamed even if it wasn't my fault. Mm. And in Europe and places like that where you travel a lot of the time, most of the guys have dash camera for video footage and things like that. So I thought, all right, it'll be good for me to get a video camera for the car. Mm. And when I looked, it was around 2017, when I was looking around to buy a dash cam, I found that there was no actual brands in India. You actually had to import it, and that's what I did. And then I thought, hold on a sec, there's definitely a market here, because if I look at how poor the traffic is, the high accident rate, and then having this sort of evidence would then help us a lot. Mm. So that's kind of how the consumer side started. So there were two parts to the thing. There was a fleet side and the consumer side, and they kind of dovetailed into this SafeCams camera system.
Fascinating. So today we'll talk about more of the consumer side. You just explained one of the reasons to install a car safety camera is for accidents. But other than accidents, what are some of the other primary functions that a car safety camera can do or help in today's traffic environment?
Okay, so a few of my clients have come back to me. It has saved them from challans. So they've the traffic police stopped them saying, "Oh, you went through a red light." Then they've shown them the footage on the dash cam to
Okay.
prove that it wasn't there. So that was definitely and especially when you move from one state to another. So when they are driving and you have a different place car. So it can, if you follow the rules, it can be evidence to show to the police that it hasn't been done. There's also an option called a parking guard. So let's say if you park your car and you leave it on the side of the road, you go and then somebody bangs it. Most of the time no one leaves a note or tells you anything. So we have a thing called a parking guard feature where when your car is switched off, the camera will monitor and sensor, and if there's a bang or there's a movement in the car, the camera will come on and record that evidence. So it's mostly around the evidence side, but yes, there's different things that can be used within the evidence. And as more AI is brought into the consumer side, it will also then start being able to do like driver behavior as well. So let's say if you're trying to fall asleep and things like that, there are AI cameras now which will be able to pick up whether you are falling asleep and then try and wake you up through a noise or a beep and things like that. So,
Wow.
yeah.
And I mean, I've seen a lot of these, but never used them. How does the camera monitor the front and the back of the vehicle?
So what happens is we would normally, what we call them is a single channel or a dual channel. So a dual channel would have two cameras that are connected. So one camera would be facing front, and then the other camera would be connected to it and be installed on the rear of the vehicle. So in that way, both cameras, lenses will be recording, and it will get recorded onto one SD card. So depending on how many, but for most of the consumer side, it's either front only, front or rear, or front and cabin. Those are normally the kind of three options that are given in the
And are
consumer side.
safe cams available in the market now?
Yes, we are just launching. So what had happened is so the government came up with their BIS accreditation scheme. So that came out, I think, in last year, I think October, sometime last year. So what we then decided to do is we were going to upgrade our entire range. And we went and got them the entire range BIS certified. So it's taken us a bit of time because you have to go to a lab, laboratory, it goes to the government, it gets tested. So yes, we are launching our mid-range camera systems now, and they will be available on our website soon. The reason why we stopped the older ones is because they were not BIS. So we waited for the entire range to be BIS certified, and now this year, we're going to be launching them in the next two, one this month, and then another 2 or 3 months, we'll be launching the next dual
Amazing.
camera.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
And Vanish, how do your digital eye cameras differentiate from other dash cams available in the market?
So, yeah, so I mean, majority of the other dash cams are Chinese brands. I'd have to admit, it's very hard for us to always beat them on pricing. So what we've tried to do is we've tried to take a little bit of a different approach where in our box, so our cameras themselves have been tested in India. We use good low light sensors because see the a lot of the roads in India are not well lit. So we've got to use a better low light sensor. Then also we use 3M. So all our cameras come with a 3M connectivity. So we don't use suction caps. And we have a thing called a super capacitor where a lot of the dash cameras from overseas, they use lithium ion batteries. Now what will happen is because of the heat and it's on the back onto the front of the vehicle, we use a thing called a super capacitor, which then allows you to the heat range is much higher without it expanding and causing all the problems. And also what we've done is we actually include the hardwire kit as well as a Pro Endurance SD card with our. So when you buy our camera, it effectively comes with everything in one box. So you don't have to go out, buy a different SD card, find, oh, this SD card isn't working with this. I'll get another hardwire kit. And also, we are trying to work quite well with some car accessory shops. So we are training them on how to fit it. And we are going to be also, hopefully, also having a lot of people trained. So we will start also offering home installations in the next 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
So in this way, we are hoping that is
Well,
a little bit
I
different.
hope you start Gurgaon soon because I will want this in both my cars. So you have your first customer already.
Oh, brilliant.
But tell me,
So,
how easy or difficult is it to install one of these? Or as you mentioned, we have to go to a mechanic.
See, you have there's maybe 3 ways of connecting it to the car's power. One, you could use the car charger. So a car charger is quite easy. You just plug it in and then you run the wire through to the camera. But the problem with the car charger is, again, with India having quite a lot of bumpy roads sometimes, the car charger can come loose and then the camera will stop recording. That is why I kind of say, all right, try and put it to the car fuse box. Now, when I say fuse box, we don't cut any wire. We use a thing called a fuse tap, which just piggybacks off the car's fuses. So your car warranty or anything like that is. Now, the problem with that is you need to know whether you have battery power and ignition power. And that's why I say that if you understand how to do it, we have some videos. And if you have a multimeter, you can install it. But
Okay.
otherwise, I'm not saying it can't be, but just to make sure that the warranty, everything is done, I would say it's better to get it professionally
Well
installed.
said.
And then you
And
also
you
have
just told
that.
me that you will be starting home installations in 3-4 months' time. So I think that's a great response. But moving on, Manisha, what features should a consumer look for while choosing a car safety camera? And of course, I'm saying, you know, since I'm talking to you, the first choice is SafeCam's digital eye. But what are some of the features they should look for?
Okay. I guess with any camera system, the video resolution is very important.
Right.
So you shouldn't get anything less than full HD or 1080p. So the camera systems that we currently have are always 1080p or higher. So you get 2K and 4K. So the only the one thing you have to understand is as you go for higher video resolutions, obviously then the SD card you also purchase will have to be of a higher capacity because the video will take up more and more space. Then the wide angle lens. So the lens is also important because with the vehicles, right, you need to cover at least 3 or 4 lanes because you don't know where the accident or where something could come from. So I would always say an ultra wide angle lens of at least 140 degree wide angle. And a good lens would mean that the distortion is very little because you will obviously, because we're going for ultra wide angle, there's a fisheye effect. But in the area around the car, you should have a very good clarity. So a fixed element lens would be very good because then it helps with that fisheye effect as well. Then some people will want GPS because then you also know the speed that you are traveling at and the position and location. That could be quite useful in case of an accident.
Correct.
And then I guess I would say the other feature that a lot of people are looking for as well is the parking mode. Because when they leave their car parked on the side of the road or something, somebody comes, hits the car, and then they don't know what's happened with it. So the parking mode with the hardwire kit would also be something that would be preferential.
Well said. Well said. Thank you. My next question is, you know, you were talking about BIS and so on, but technology is also evolving every day. So my question is, how has the evolution of technology impacted the development of dash cams?
So I think where it come out, again, on the resolution side, right? I think a few years back, full HD 1080p was like all the rage. Now you're getting 2K, 4K, even 8K cameras. So I would say that as the chipsets and all of these components become cheaper and cheaper, the resolution will get higher and higher with the dash camera. But resolution is not only that. There's also a big change in, not change, but we call them CMOS sensors, right? So what happens is guys like Sony are busy working on low light sensors. Because when you look at a dash camera, right, the problem with that is your front-facing lens. You can't have night vision like what they talk about because you have cars coming with their headlights blaring at you. So you actually can't do night vision, but you have a thing called a low light sensor, which looks at the range of light. So we call wide dynamic range and or high dynamic range. So it's able to filter some of the higher lights from the car's front facing. You know, the oncoming traffic will have their front lights, you know, blaring at your camera. So it needs to tone that down. Yet in the areas that are a bit darker, it needs to lighten that up. So we are definitely seeing some improvements there with the low light sensors. And I think Sony has come up with a Starvis range of, you know, low light sensors. That's come through. And then the other thing will be like with 4G. So you'd have your camera now starting to become connected. So it would connect to your, you know, to a cloud system. The cloud system would then be able to record what is needed. You'd also be able to view. So let's say you have your kids, they're taking the car out. You can live track it. So a lot of the things that I see what's happening in the fleet side will slowly but surely start moving into the consumer side as the pricing comes down. And a lot of those features of the AI features that I was kind of talking that we have more on the fleet side will definitely start coming into the cameras because we're already seeing it now where you're having chips with neural engines already built in. So you can actually have the AI function working on much smaller cameras and much smaller body. So this augmentation of driving will also come through. So it's not
Very
just a camera
interesting.
System.
But, you know, you just
but
mentioned AI. I wanted to ask you, tell me a little more about how will AI enhance the camera functionalities?
So currently, right, so on our, what we have is we would have two or three different AI models that are running on different camera feeds. So these are all vision-based AI. So what it is, we teach the AI certain things, like recognize a vehicle in front of you, recognize, you know, a person's face is drooping, the eyes are drooping. So once the learning has happened, the AI then starts monitoring. So let's say for a driver, it'll monitor the driver. And if it's finding that the driver's eyes are closing, he's yawning, it will then alert him. So if you look at like the accident rates in India, right, 86% of the accidents are actually caused by human error.
Wow.
So that is fatigue, speeding, things like that. Now, once you have AI, the AI will be able to pick up if the driver's falling asleep. So fatigue can now be taken care of. Also, it can augment the driver in the sense that it can also, on the front-facing side, it will be able to pick up the distance. So it's continuously calculating the distance between you and the car in front of it. And if it finds that you are coming too close, it will then start warning you to brake or slow down so you've got enough space between you. It will also be able to pick up pedestrians. So because of the wide angle, it's able to pick up certain pedestrians on the side. So if you've trained your AI well, it might be able to alert the driver that, you know, there's a possibility of that pedestrian crossing the road and, you know, watch out for it. So I definitely see AI as being a very much an augmentation to the driver in India. I can't see it replacing the drivers as yet, but it will definitely help showcase the drivers where the dangers are while they are driving.
Very interesting. So time for three more questions for you. Are there any privacy concerns in our country, or for that matter, anywhere in the world, related to dash cams?
Yes, they can be. So one of our clients, when you're entering the port or any army area, you would either need to switch off your camera and then show the person that it switched off. And what we've actually done is we've made it very easy for them to, you know, we've either installed a button for them to switch off or we've made them a bracket where they can easily slide the camera out and store it for those sort of areas. So I guess on anything that's public, so a public road or anything like that, a camera has got no problems. It's got the same kind of range as the CCTV. So we've also fitted this in the Dombivli Kalyani smart city, where the police are actually using our cameras to issue challans and stuff like that. So if you're on a public road, you've got no problem. But if you're entering a restricted area, you will have to follow the kind of rules that they've set. And then you either have to switch it off if they're asking you to switch it off or remove the camera. And as I said, we've made it easy to either, you know, if you're entering restricted areas, we can either install a button to easily switch it off, or we can have a bracket system where you can remove the camera.
That's
other than that, I mean, I know some European countries have got certain laws around it, but that is more around, again, if it's something is in the public domain, you can record it. There should be no problems around that.
Amazing, thank you.
And from a legal point of view, it will be allowed in courts and things like that. So from a court of law, if you hand your dash camera with the SD card, the police will run certain diagnostics on the SD card to make sure you haven't tampered with it or anything like that. Once they're happy, that card, that video footage can be admissible in a court of law.
Wonderful. The other question that I also had was that most of the new cars that are now coming have an incredible amount of technology inside them. How does SafeCam's technology integrate with other in-car systems?
So majority of the in-car system, right, unfortunately, it's still very close. So let's say if a manufacturer makes them, it's more or less close to that, to their environment. It does. Most car companies are not playing that nice. I think maybe the infotainment center will be one of the only things that they allow you to connect your mobile phone to, things like that. So I think about 2 years back, we had a camera that connected to your infotainment center. So let's say if you're going into reverse, you could change the video and look at it and then move it through. But we kind of decided if this is a safety device, we don't want people fidgeting with it too much. We want it to work in the background. And if something happens, the sort of the video footage would be there. So the kind of integration we would be looking at more would be like to the car's OBD. And again, it will depend on how much information we can get from the car manufacturers, because each of them have different codes, different things. So right now, even though we say there's a lot of technology in the car, it is a very closed ecosystem. And a lot of the car companies, I think Tesla got into a lot of trouble last time where they've also got these kind of AI cameras. But what's happening is that data is being transmitted back to Tesla itself. And some employees then leaked some of that video. So there's a lot of privacy concerns in the sense that if I'm buying this car, right, the car company shouldn't be using that data somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where SafeCam is a little bit different. It's your data. We don't use it for anything. It sits in your car, and you've got full access to the data. We don't have access to that data. So there's always going to be this kind of privacy issue, and you as the owner of the vehicle will need to decide how do you want your data and video to be.
Well said. Vanish, on that note, I just want to say thank you so much for talking to me about your own journey. Thank you for speaking to me at such length about SafeCam's digital eye. You know, I've seen a lot of these in taxis in Singapore and other parts of the world where I think it's compulsory. But, you know, the fact that now we are getting an Indian-made SafeCam digital eye in our country, as I mentioned during our conversation, you have me as a confirmed customer right away whenever you launch. But thank you for talking to us at such length about so many different aspects and the need for one of your products in virtually every car in our country. Thank you again for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Thanks for your time, Isma.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.